61.
Our large inventory offers something for everyone at any budget, and we offer hand engraving on site by my grandfather, Richard.
Visit us today at the corner of Big Ben and Doherty Ferry Road or at wowdiamonds.com.
Newsetter's fine jewelry.
We know what women want.
We all have a lot of things we're going to do one day. One day I'll change my career. One day I'll get my bachelor's degree. Well, today is the day to be brave. Because Maryville University offers more than 30 degrees online, including bachelor's degrees, with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Who's ready for super premium fresh halibut imported daily from Alaska, grilled in an extra virgin olive oil with capers, lemon, mushrooms, and Greek oregano? That's how it's done at Surf and Sirloin, located in the southwest quadrant of Manchester in 270. Ask for it supreme style with colossal lump crab meat steamed in champagne. Owners Harry and Stavro Karagiannis have been in business for 25 years, and they are open for lunch Tuesday through Friday and dinner 7 days a week. Check out their menu online at surfandsirloin.com.
Three Kings Public House is a local favorite that is growing in popularity. Why? How about happy hour specials that demand attention? Like half off of all draft beers, $2 off wine by the glass, $3.99 rail cocktails, and $5.99 select appetizers. And here's the kicker. More than 30 rotating drafts per location. If you want options, Three Kings has you covered. And the food is just as enticing. Get anything from Cajun pasta to a Korean burger. Go to ThreeKingsPub.com to find a location near you.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover.
I am a proud, ignorant woman, and no one is going to change that.
Crossed over if I ever have a cent. I'll be rich.
Who was that? Does somebody work here?
That was Luann from King of the Hill.
Oh. Not familiar with. I'm familiar with. Ha 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 ha. Yeah, that guy. But not her.
Right.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the 13th of May. Another sleepy.
Uh oh. Doesn't have it ready. Uh oh.
Boy, oh boy. What did the teacher used to do when you don't have your homework like 3 days in a row?
Make you sit
expel
in the
dunce
cap and sit in the corner.
Man, oh man.
Was it?
It's not like we just, you know, started this yesterday.
I know.
It's like a week ago.
I am very, very sorry.
Edit out your mistake. Just edit it out.
Okay, 1 second. But I can't. I gotta find it. First.
I can't. I told you about that
I
pronunciation.
Cannot.
You gotta be careful with that.
I'm very sorry.
Can't.
Okay.
That's a little close to something else.
All right, let me fix this.
Radio edit.
Welcome, everybody. It's the 13th of May, or as I like to say, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Was it 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day?
Oh. You cut it off!
It stops. Damn it.
It's stuck.
There we go.
No, edit that out. That was horrible. Edit that out. You're off to a great start. Edit that out.
Oh. Okay, all right. 1 second. Okay, here we go.
Radio edit.
Well, welcome everybody. Here we are on the 13th of May. Another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Dusty Delta day.
Holy cow.
We got David Solomon on standby,
man.
Right outside the door.
I didn't
want me to get him.
We're getting real close to summoning him. Complicated.
Just
edit that out. We can't let people hear that.
I'm going to fix this again. Here we go.
Radio edit.
Well, here we are on the 13th of May, or as I like to say, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Wow, nailed it. Just nailed it, just like that. Glad to have you with us. What a day. What a great, this is a convertible day. This is a skateboarding day. This is a play hooky day. Wow, is it nice? Tomorrow's going to be nice, I think.
And then tomorrow night it rains?
Of course. Of course, because it will have been 4 days or 3 days since we had any rain.
Yeah.
But it is beautiful outside. If you want to find a way to get the rest of the day off, say you got a sales call. And they'll go, but you're a welder. Oh, yeah, sales call anyway. There's a potential welding customer who wants to talk to us about a big job. It's a good day to play hooky. This weekend, Dan Strauss's daughter, Alyssa, who he thinks is his daughter.
Yes.
And let's let him go with that. Graduated from SEMO, right?
Yes, yeah.
And so Dan sends me a text, proud papa, this is Alyssa at the graduation ceremony. And since I'm a big fan of playing the Star Spangled Banner, doing patriotic things, even like Kate Smith, Dan, I will let you introduce her. We're going to play her performance. This was Saturday at SEMO at the graduation ceremony. You said there were like 1,200 graduates.
Yeah, at least 1,200 to 1,400.
Well, we'll talk about going to graduation ceremony after we stand if you can, hand over the heart if you can. No kneeling. No kneeling.
No.
We don't go for that. No. Okay. I know it's freedom of expression, all that crap. It's also, to me, disrespectful. So hand over the heart, cap if you have it, take it off, and stand if you can. And would you please introduce her and tell who her who's accompanying her, because it's two girls singing a cappella. Who's the other girl?
Yeah, one of her friends, her good friend's Emily, and the other girl is Julia.
And this is from Saturday. This is Dan's daughter, Alyssa. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please stand for the national anthem?
This great nation,
you said that.
Oh, he just told you.
I just said it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, a cappella. It's really cool.
Proud papa. Proud daddy. Should be. Play ball and baseball. What do they play hockey?
Actually, George Walter Bush, I should say, who was the president of USA Hockey at the Minnesota North Stars, and then other teams copy this. As soon as the anthem's over, they immediately direct their PA announcer to say, "Let's play hockey."
There you go.
As a result of him doing that, he was in the movie where they talked about Herb Brooks and the U.S. Olympic team.
Miracle on Ice.
It was just called Miracle.
Great movie.
Miracle. Yeah. Right.
Great. It was the movie. It was just called Miracle. Excuse me. So, if Josh Bauman's place there for a minute. So, Dan, I don't, no disrespect to the other girl, but she was off. Alyssa, you know, was right. Alyssa, by the way, I'm guessing, sang the melody, and the other girl was doing the harmony, right?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
I think Alyssa had the higher part and carried the melody. And the accompanying harmony was done by the other girl.
No BS, yeah, they Dan. Did a... No BS, Charles Glenn, you know, he's retiring.
I know.
And the Blues are going to be holding anthem singer tryouts all season to replace him.
There you go.
She's got to get in on that.
Oh, I know.
Do they sing it live every time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. As Girls. Opposed to recorded. By the way, I'm not a big fan of the bugle chips either. You know what these? Most of the time now when they play taps on the bugle, it's a chipped electronic bugle. I'm not kidding. They hold it up, yeah. And the sound is coming out of the bugle, but it's a digital pre-recorded rendition, and they can't screw it up. I don't like that. I don't want it to always, you know, it's going to be perfect. There's no pressure. Now think about it. There's no pressure on the what do you call a bugle player? Buglist?
A buglist, yeah.
Bugle boy.
Bugle boy, Company B.
Yeah.
Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy. Good job, Alyssa. I know you hate me. You've always hated me, but good job. And before we get to the Burke segment, I rarely listen to local radio. I just don't. I couldn't tell you who's on the air at 9 out of 10 stations. I probably know 3 names of people on the air. But this morning, I just decided to listen. And I picked a station that I knew where they took calls. We used to have a name in this business for people who called every radio station and played every contest. They were called contest pigs.
Yeah.
They weren't loyal. Mm-hmm. They weren't loyal to any station. They had phones ready to dial and multiple stations on, and they weren't loyal listeners. And so this morning, see if this sounds familiar. I hear somebody call in. It's a pretty familiar voice. And they say, thank you, Sebastian.
That guy.
So that loser calls multiple states. And then the caller right either before him or behind him was another. I recognize this guy instantly. And what's funny is they'll call one station and they'll say something like, so what you know, you got the greatest show on the radio. Okay, hey, man, thanks for calling. Knowing that next time they'll take their call. Oh, that's that guy that says good things about it. And then they'll turn around and call us, tell us we have the greatest show on radio. So yeah, they're out there.
Liars.
Yeah, liars. Does anybody have anything to say?
Oh,
I do.
I think Tim does.
Come on, it's been a whole weekend.
Well,
here.
Mine was basically the national anthem and the graduation.
Well, since we just played it before Tim, anything you want to add to it? You said it was 1,200 people, and I asked you off the air, did you have to sit through Anderson, Becky Anderson, all the way through the Z's. Then you said, no, they broke it up into, what, 4 different groups?
Yeah, there was like 4 different groups as like how they got what their degree was in the arts. And Alyssa was actually in the first group. So we went through, but we did stay because afterwards there was a reception in another hall because it had been raining all day. So there was
Here's the thing. I haven't been to a lot of graduations. I went to my daughter's graduation down in Texas, University of Texas, or even a high school graduation. And obviously, we went to high school graduations, and I was actually in one. I am a high school graduate. I don't brag about it a lot, but I am a high school graduate. I never mention it. Did I tell you?
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm a high school graduate. Yeah. So here's the thing about graduation. You go there, and it's no different than a recital or a swim meet or a wrestling match. We've done all that stuff. You don't give 2 hoots about those other kids. You just don't. You don't want it. You're not there for them yet. And if your kid is named, in your case, Strauss, sorry, if they go alphabetically, you're going to have to sit through all of those, Teasdale, Jimmy Teasdale.
And they didn't do this alphabetically.
Well, they did.
No, I couldn't figure out.
How did they decide?
I have no idea.
By height.
Yeah. I don't know how they did it, but it wasn't alphabetical.
And last, Dinklage, Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
Come on out here, Peter. Stand up. You are standing. Sorry. But you want to leave after your kid, gets the picture, takes the diploma. You want to get up and leave. And you want to do that, especially at music recitals. Holy cow. But you can't, because it'd be rude. And by the way, if you did that, and let's say they were going alphabetically, poor little Andy Zechman wouldn't have anybody left when he got up to do his recital. All the parents would be gone. It's just his parents, nobody else. Bill Cleveland. That kind of thing. Yeah. I did not like. Oh, did they? Who gave the commencement speech?
The governor of the state of Missouri.
Ooh.
Yeah, how about that?
Was it good or boring?
It was boring. It was actually pretty good.
If it had been good, you would have said you hesitated because you're trying to be nice. It was boring.
No, well, it wasn't. It was. It could have gone either way. It could have gone to the really good side, and it could have gone to the boring side. It was like right down the middle, and it was just like one of those. Yeah, that's you make some good points, and you do some. And
he's the governor because he has to be careful.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't be too funny. You're the governor.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember one thing in his speech? Even one?
No,
thing?
I don't remember.
Okay,
one
right
thing.
There, failed. No, you failed the test.
I know.
If you can walk away with one powerful or funny or interesting thing that he said, that's a good speech. But if you can't, it's just another speech. And now, Tim Woodburn, ladies and gentlemen, it's all yours.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
To follow up on Dan's Burke segment, when I graduated college in 1991, I graduated from journalism school at Mizzou, and you know who gave our commencement speech at the graduation?
Howard Hughes?
No, close.
Howard Stern?
No. Way off.
Howard Balzer?
Way off. Actually, that's not
Howard
far.
Howard Morton?
That's not far off.
I was
going to say. Bill McClellan.
Oh, I bet it was a good speech.
It wasn't. It was the most boring thing
oh,
I ever sat through in my life.
Really?
And in fact, I got so upset with him when he wrote a column about something. I said, you know what? I said you're actually more boring as a writer than you were at my graduation speech. And we had a little tit for tat back and forth.
That's too bad, because I would have thought he would be funny and have great
strides. Dry. He was dry. And that his dry, boring commencement speech at my graduation traumatized me so bad that when my sister Jackie graduated from Mizzou, 15 years later, and I was invited to it. Hers was in the Hearn Center, which is like, you know, the big, 13,000 yeah. Before they used to play basketball. Right. Before they, I was so traumatized by that speech and how boring that whole thing was that when she graduated, I showed up fashionably late. Actually, I showed up fashionably not at all. I actually went and sat at Harpo's and watched a Cardinal game for 3 hours. Then I got to the restaurant first. I said, that was great. I was up high. I couldn't find a seat with you all down there, but it was great job, Jackie. Yeah. Waiter, get us around. You know? And that traumatized me for all college graduations to come. I don't go to them.
Well,
high school ones
if
either.
You had kids, you'd have to. I mean, I have a choice. You got to go here. Right. But other than that, you don't have to go. Right. Why would you go?
Right.
And they're boring. They mm-hmm. aren't. They're boring. They're too long.
Mm-hmm.
And they ought to find another way to do it. But I don't get asked to do commencement speeches because I think word.
That's a shame.
Well, no, word got out after I did Mulberry Grove High School in Mulberry Grove, Illinois. The word got out. Nobody asked me again. Because that, it went really well with the students listening. They were in stitches.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Parents didn't like it?
No. Like in a movie, there's always that one woman who's on she's like on the board or she's the superintendent of schools, and she is that woman, heavy set, never smiles, and she did not like anything about what I did.
Do you remember what you spoke about?
Yeah, I basically got up and I just said, look, you're all stupid. You're going to be told... by a lot of people. In fact, a lot of people who'd be making a speech I'm making now would get up here and tell you you got the world by the tail, and if you set your mind to it, you can do anything you want. I said, that is not true. You will not be able to do anything you want, and many of you will be miserable failures at more than one thing. That's just life. And man, she shot me the dirtiest look. And of course, the kids are laughing. And I just said, here's the truth about life. And I start telling them what life is really like. And everybody liked it. But her. And she was that one person in a tiny town who everybody was afraid of.
She had all the power.
So I think she must have fired off an email or something to all other schools. Never have this guy speak as a commencement speaker.
Or I will sit on you.
Yeah, no kidding. Anything else?
One real quick one. I have a niece. Who is in
that's a good story.
Fifth grade?
Got a niece.
I don't think it's finished.
Niece, comma. I have a niece, comma. She's in fifth grade, and she goes to school in a very upscale, affluent part of our metropolis. It's like in Clayton, Wildwood, right in that area.
Like from Dew Town Country.
Not Pine Lawn, okay?
St.
Nope. It's like in Clayton, Wildwood, kind of right there on the border. Goes to a really, really nice school.
Is it a public school?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, and so they showed her yearbook photo at a family gathering we had over the weekend, and in the fifth grade yearbook, they asked all the fifth graders what they wanted to be when they grew up, and the predictable answers were there from top to bottom. One kid, of course, wanted to be president. Mm-hmm. Couple of them wanted to be lawyers. A couple of them wanted to be pro athletes. A couple of them wanted to be doctors.
Firefighters,
exactly. And then there's the one kid, in the class, and I swear on my grandmother's grave, this is what he put that he wanted to be when he grew up. He wanted to be an Uber driver.
An Uber driver?
Oh,
wow.
Yeah,
that is
kid.
Under his photo.
He's honest. He's honest.
That's Uber cool.
And by the way, and he might be the best Uber driver that ever lived. He might be honest and fair and nice. So what?
Maybe he'll buy Uber. He'll end up buying it later.
See, Uber
life.
Owner. That would be something to aspire for.
Man, I was so glad to get out of high school. I mean, I know we're talking about graduation from college, but this is still graduation. Well, one of the greatest days of my life. This hell is over. That's all I kept thinking. This is over. No more having to wear those little PE shorts, those little flimsy little shorty short shorts, gay shorts. No more having to wear the flimsy cheap T-shirt, PE, having girls laugh at my legs. I don't have to do this anymore.
I can tell you honestly that they kept those same shorts at least till the year 2000.
Oh, yeah.
In England. Like, they kept using them. Anybody who didn't bring in a uniform or left it at home, they had to wear those horrible, crunchy, weird
shorts. Did they
have
the little slits on the side?
Yeah.
Little V-cut on the side?
All the time. I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did they have the little square or the box on your on the pant leg on the short to write your name in them?
No.
And then they had we had two on the shirt also that you had to write.
We
your
always
name.
Had ours at like either the waistline or the collar.
I think I told a story before. I was an athlete, but you have to take PE. You didn't have a choice. So you have to go physical education. And I remember at the first of the year, the coach, and of course he's the basketball coach. He doesn't want to have PE with us, a bunch of non-athletes. He had to be just bored. But the first of the year, he explains the rules. He said, gentlemen, you're going to expect you to take a shower every day after PE. And he says, and I want all of you to show up tomorrow with a jock strap. You're going to need a jock strap. I didn't know what that was. I didn't. My dad never, when you grow up, your dad's going to go, son, you need to know what a jock strap is. So I didn't know what it was. So I went to the store. And I bought a little packet that said athletic supporter. I'm not making this up. I got home. I couldn't figure out how to get that thing off. I mean, is this the fraud? Is this the... I could not figure out. And then when I did think I had it right, I thought, well, this can't be right. This
you
feels
put it on
stupid.
Backwards. Complete my fantasy until you asked your mom for help.
No.
You put it on backwards.
No, you know what? I didn't wear one. I just thought underwear is fine. Tidy whiteys are fine. I'm not that well endowed that tidy whiteys won't hold it up. So I just wore tidy whiteys. And I got away with it. I mean, what's he going to do, come in there and inspect like some pervert to see who has a jock strap on?
Tidy whiteys were pretty much like a jock
strap.
Yes,
they were. And they were tight. That's why they call them tidy whiteys. And they supported. It's not like in the rodeo or something.
I hated wearing a jock strap. Until I had
never
started
had to
playing,
do any of that.
When I started playing baseball at an
didn't
older age.
Didn't it feel
age.
Weird? It felt weird, didn't it? When I tried it on, I thought, well, this is uncomfortable. This just feels... stupid.
I wore one as a catcher in Little League Baseball, and I'll tell you.
Are you wearing one right now?
Wearing a cup?
Tell
no.
the truth. Are you wearing one right
no,
now?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not.
Right.
I was reffing a roller hockey. I'll tell you what, though. I don't know if anybody's ever been hitting the cookies, but
yes.
I was reffing a roller hockey game in college and was not wearing protection. And this guy sent the puck up the wing, and I was looking to my left, and it came hit, and it, I mean, it hit. It's like hitting the 7-8 ball in bowling. You know, it's I mean, it just hit right between the middle. It was on edge. That's it.
Oh.
That's first and only time I've ever been hit there with any kind of force. And I'll tell you what.
That explains the email I got. Asked him if he remembers his nickname, Pucknuts.
Pucknuts.
Let me tell you, it knocked me back and down, and it was, I think it's the only time I've involuntarily had tears stream down my face.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't know if you, I didn't know that the body could do that.
Okay.
I mean, unless you were like horribly saddened or you know, and
when you have kids, you'll have that happen because they'll run and headbutt you in the testicles, just running toward you, and you don't, you're not ready for it.
No. No, that was a stunt. I had stopped the game. I was the only ref. It was a one-ref league, right? We had stopped the game for like 15 minutes until I got my composure.
Stop? I have to go into the locker room.
Can we take a break?
The third period, I'm like,
oh, 2 minutes for cross-checking.
Hey, since you did the high voice thing, somebody help me out here. Do you know what a CIS is? CIS? Have you ever heard of it? Tim, check,
like
look this
sister?
Up. No, our head of research.
Like,
no,
sissy?
No, CIS is another gender term. I don't understand it. It's a guy born with male junk, but then he identifies as a man.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know.
Oh, wait. Do you mean cisgender as in like C-I-S?
CIS.
Oh, I thought you said S-I-S.
No, I meant CIS.
So I thought cisgender was just like us, you know, like we're just regular.
Well, then
just
why do we need
guys?
A name, cisgender? Just call us a man. You're a man.
I thought it was like a kind of a derogatory thing. Like it's someone who doesn't really acknowledge the other ones.
All right, hang on. Head of research.
By this definition, everybody on this show is cisgender.
Yeah, right.
Because we're not transgender, because we identify with the sex that we were assigned at birth.
Then why do we need the name?
I don't
cisgender.
Know.
What do we need?
Because everything has to have a name.
True.
It's unbelievable.
Normal?
Somebody just trying to make
normal's kind of, you know, because if...
We're heterosexual men.
If you say normal,
it.
But that means you're straight.
Oh, you can't say normal because, well, normal in one book is not normal by somebody else.
Because that means if you're not normal, that means you're abnormal, which is a negative.
So you're offending everybody else.
Exactly. So we're cis. I don't like that because it sounds like we're sissies. I don't like it.
This is the large cisgender morning show in the afternoon.
I don't like it. It should have been another name.
Sounds like a cyst or something.
Why do you need a name for somebody who basically is not trying to be somebody else? In other words, we're not transgender. We're not transsexual. We're not bisexual. What are the other? We're not pansexual.
We're not non-binary because we identify as male.
So why do we need anything? We're just men.
What is pansexual now? I think that is
Where you pretty much just like nope.
Have a pan?
No, that's not.
Put a band on your pants?
No, I think it just means like you can go either way or both ways or like just a whole bunch of stuff.
It means you'll hit anything.
Yeah, okay. I didn't want to put it like that. But yeah, it means
anything used to mean two categories, male or female. But now anything means like...
Well, then pansexual is just the same as bisexual, isn't it?
No, because pansexual acknowledges other offbeat categories. Not if you're bisexual, male, female.
Right.
But if you're pansexual, you'll hit on male, female, transgender, transvestite, crossdresser, drag queen.
If you're pansexual, the men are men and the sheep are nervous.
It's an old farm joke. It's a good farm joke. Anything else, Tim?
Wow. Think that covers it, Frank.
Yeah, end on a high
Uber
note.
Drivers and pansexual.
Anybody
I'm
else
done.
For the Burke segment?
Oh, my goodness.
Nothing?
I'd kind of like to talk about the flooding for a minute.
Like that, I used to talk about flooding. Trevor Limestone Phillips.
I just kind of have a bunch of questions, really. I was driving.
Get ready, because any minute, Dan, it's going to be a little bit of go ahead and do it now.
It has to do with water. I know, water coming over the bank.
So what's your question?
All right. I was driving over the Merrimack earlier on 55, and I can tell that obviously it's like incredibly high because of all the flooding and all that. And I know it's not the highest it's ever been.
Right.
I think it was like a couple of years ago where the only way into Jefferson County was on Telegraph because everything else was flooded.
Right.
So where is all this water going? Like, what is the Merrimack bleeding into, and what areas is it going through? And then what does that go like? All this water.
My basement.
Merrimack goes into the Mississippi.
All right, and then the Mississippi goes down into the ocean, right? Down, all the way through Louisiana.
Right, yeah.
All the way through
there. Where does it turn into salt water, by the way? If the rivers go into the ocean and the ocean is salt, where's that actual point where miraculously the water gets salty? How does that work?
Is that New Orleans? Does Mississippi go all the way down to New Orleans? And then it hits the ocean there?
I think we look at us, how stupid.
Probably
I was just really amazed because, I'm sure soon Valley Park is going to flood again. We've all seen that. 141 is pretty much underwater.
It's flooded forever.
Yeah, decades. And then it just disappears. So where is all this going? And if it's all up here, who's next about to get hit? Like, are people that you're saying, does it go
Memphis?
Through like, yeah, Memphis,
I think
New Orleans?
South is worse. If you're north, because it flows. By the time you get way down south, holy crap, you got everybody's water.
There is a website called oceanservice.noaa.gov.
Well, of course there is.
That says, it has an explanation, and it fries my brain to even try and describe this, but it says, the rivers and the streams flowing from the United States discharge...
States.
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 The United States alone... The rivers and the streams in the United States discharge 225 million tons of dissolved solids and 513 million tons of sediment into the ocean, and all that cocktail mixed together creates salt water.
Wow.
So there's not enough in each individual river to create the salt, but all the rivers going into it combined essentially create salt water.
Whoa.
Because of that's what this says.
I know, but I've been...
And then it mixes with the ocean water and...
I've been to Florida, and there's some little, bay areas. Well, that's fresh water. And over there is salt. Where I go, does it gradually become salty?
Well, rain is what replenishes water in rivers and streams, so the rain's not salty.
Right.
But once it starts to run through all the soil and all the everything,
it gradually gets down into the ocean.
Minerals
by the
and everything.
Time it gets, all the rivers have been flowing into the ocean for billions of years.
True.
All that salt's already in the ocean.
Hmm.
From all the rivers that have been flowing into it forever. That's what this website says.
I know that... Limey, you're not going to be able to go to Europe.
No.
But Tim's going to go, and Bill Cleveland's going to go, and Dan and Sandy are going to go. Dan, do you remember that that place in Jamaica where the water lit up green?
Illuminating Lagoon.
Did you go there?
Yes.
That's the most, one of the most incredible things I have ever seen in my life. They're only, and they said three of them in the world.
Yeah.
And they're bodies of water, and I'll never, ever be able to remember how they told us it turned phosphorescent.
They said the microorganisms,
oh, you're talking about the bioluminescent algae?
Yes.
Yeah, from the salt water.
If you take a rope on the dock and just splash the water, you know those tubes at Halloween you break and they light up green?
Glow sticks, yeah.
That's what that water looks like. It lights up green. If you splash it into the air, green light goes in the air. The water is lit up. It's unbelievable.
And you can see fish. You can see fish.
Because it's movement in the water that sets off this light. And so as fish go through, it's like they're on fire with green. They're lit up. Most excursions, or at least a lot of them, by the time you come back to the resort, you go, yeah, I'll never do that again. It took all day. This one was one I was glad I went on.
And I think the warmer it gets, because we went back to Jamaica and went the next time, I don't think you did, but we went the next time with some other people.
And I heard it wasn't as strong.
And it wasn't as strong because they said it wasn't as warm as it was.
So the warmer the better?
Yeah, the warmer the better.
Okay. Anybody else, Mark? Did you finish?
No, I just kind of wanted to know where all this water is headed to, really.
I think you got your answer.
Thank you very much.
We don't know. So there.
All right.
Anybody else, Dan?
Those are the ocean. No.
Close it up. Our segment's officially closed. Speaking of vacation, I think we still have, in fact, I'm pretty sure we do, one cabin left on this cruise now. Ladies and gentlemen, departure is June 26th. We are 4 weeks and 10 days away from leaving. And if you can swing it, it was sold out and a cabin became available, because it's inevitable. Somebody is going to have to bail, not going to make it, got sick, death in the family, lost a job, whatever. If you can make it and you can pull this off, for goodness sakes, go to our Facebook page, look at the information, call Julie Wilson, our travel agent. This is a trip. This is our last trip with listeners. This will be number 20 and the last one. And this is going to top every trip we've ever taken. Rhine River Cruise on the Amadeus Silver II, a 5-star first-class cruise ship that only accommodates 165 passengers. We will make up just slightly over half that ship. We could actually commandeer, if we wanted to, get the captain, tie him up, and take over that ship. In numbers, we have that kind of strength. We're not going to do that because we don't know how to drive that thing. But we will be at least half the ship, and probably just slightly over half the ship, which is going to be wonderful. There is more than enough service per passenger. The beautiful thing about a ship like this is, because it's not so ridiculously large, is that the service is great. The food is absolutely, they say, incredible. You can go on YouTube and type in Amadeus Silver 2. And watch all kinds of videos, some taken by passengers, some that are put out there for publicity. I've never been to Europe, so you don't have to feel ignorant about so I don't know anything about history or geography, neither do I. But this is going to be something, and it's our last one. So if you can make it, that'd be great. Round numbers, you're looking at $9,000 a couple, $4,500 apiece. And that's just about twice what we normally pay, but we skipped a year and didn't take a trip so people could double up and save their money. So I hope you can join us. Update on Jude Hewitt, little Jude, who just turned 1 month old. I am happy to say we are over the $10,000 mark.
Yeah, we're halfway there.
They had asked for $20,000. I don't know if they're going to get it, because we can't keep doing it every day. But I looked today and saw that in the last just day or two, that several of you hadn't forgotten about him and were still contributing. So,
and the guy that was going to have lunch with me, he was going to donate $200 and have lunch with me. He sent me an email and said he decided not to have lunch, and he was going to take that $200 and put it towards Jude.
That had to hurt your feelings.
No, it didn't, because he wanted to put it towards
you. Maybe he saw a picture of you, or he saw a video of you, and he went, I don't want to have lunch with that guy.
No, that's possible.
That's probably what happened.
It could be.
Well, either way, Jude benefits, so
yes,
that's a good thing. I was on the road yesterday all day.
Again, can't get wait to get on the road again.
Ooh, he nailed that one.
Sorry.
That was spot on.
As I was saying, I was on the road yesterday and down in Joplin, Springfield, and on 44 coming home, I noticed a couple of things. One, after all these years, we still have, and Tim will appreciate this because he was a door-to-door knife salesman. What is the deal with the billboards, Case, Knives, Factory, Outlet, and it's a giant knife store, and it's usually Case. And they're not just on 44, but they're out west toward Kansas City. Are that many people buying knives?
I think everybody that lives outside the city limits hunts. I sincerely believe that.
And still carries the pocket knife.
80 to 90% of men that live in a rural county hunt.
Dan's raising his hand.
Oh my goodness! Did you see who's on the phone?
Oh, yeah. it's Sebastian, our favorite caller. Sebastian,
we don't have anything free to give away.
Well, this is his favorite show.
Well, let's talk to him, Sebastian. How are you?
I can give him a Seventh Planet band koozie.
How you doing, Sebastian?
Hey, what's happening, Frank?
Oh, I don't know. You called us. What's going on?
So I'm the dumbass. When you don't, first of all, you don't know what a jockstrap is, and you don't even know how to put it on.
That's right. I am. That's exactly right, and I admit I am. What else?
I don't think he called you a dumbass, Sebastian.
Yeah.
I don't believe I did either, but that's okay.
No, you called me a loser.
I probably did. People who don't use their real names and are cowardly, sometimes I lay that label on.
Well, you don't use your real name either, Frankie.
No, I don't. Neither did Roy Rogers or John Wayne or lots of people. It's a stage name.
All right.
Anything else?
So you didn't know what a jockstrap is, and you didn't know how to put it on. That's
I did not. At 14, no, I did not.
That's funny.
I do now, and I still don't want to wear one.
All right, well, lose some weight, you big fat ass. See you later.
Our favorite, maybe our favorite listener. He could be our favorite caller.
You must have gone down a little bit. You must have gone down a little bit in his hierarchy because you lost the end term bastard.
Yeah. I want the whole title and none.
Yeah. Go big or go home, Sebastian.
Yeah, I want the whole thing and nothing
next time.
God, I love that.
Lose some weight, you fat ass.
You fat ass.
What was it before? It was you fat lazy bastard.
It was big fat lazy bastard.
Yeah,
he had four names in his title.
He's softening up at his older age, I guess, as he gets a little older. So I noticed that and the Walnut Bowls signs, and I still say I have never bought Walnut Bowls. Listen, I mean, have you bought Walnut Bowls?
Anyway? I've never bought
Walnut Bowls.
I don't believe I have.
No. I don't think I know what they are.
Dan, Walnut Bowls, ever bought one?
No, I've never have, but I've always wanted to.
Why? Like, is it a...
I don't
know. It's a salad bowl. There's a big one for the main salad that you take and dip the tongs, and then everybody else has a small walnut bowl.
Why are they called walnut?
Because they're made out of walnut, I guess.
Yeah.
But who cares?
I mean, walnut trees, right?
Well, is that supposed to make them better salad bowls?
They're expensive. Know. You know, you only got to sell like one a day to stay in business. You know how much these things cost?
No.
That's why I didn't buy them, because they were expensive. I wanted to just get some walnut bowls just to say I have walnut bowls.
The cheapest one I can find online is $120.
Yeah, it's
one bowl?
Yeah, a walnut serving bowl at Sur La Table. Williams Sonoma has them for $260. Whatever. Simon Pierce has them for, or is it Simon Pierce, has them for $425 for a walnut bowl.
I don't get it. Now, here's the other observation. And you probably don't do this because it's just routine. You go to the gas pump, you pump gas. But I don't know why. I took the time to just look at the gas pump. Do you know that there are instructions on the gas pump and a little diagram to tell you how to lift the handle? Who does not know that? It says, you know, put in your card, lift the handle, and then place the nozzle in the gas tank. Woo! Thank you. And then, when it shuts off, it tells you put the handle back and, you know, select the one. And the other thing that I thought was interesting is now it takes longer and longer to pump gas because now you want to just go credit card, 87 octane pump. No, is this a debit card? It says on the screen, is debit mm-hmm. card yes or no? Would you like a car? Why? You have to take a quiz.
Sometimes yeah. you have to put in your zip code as well.
Oh, no, I did that. And then it says, is a debit card yes or no? And it said, are you a member of our rewards program? Yes mm-hmm. or no? No. And then, would you like to join? No, 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 yes, no. Let's get some gas.
Do you want a receipt?
And then they play
the that's there, too. Do you? Yeah, that's another one. Do you want a receipt?
And then they play the commercial for you while you're sitting there pumping the
gas. Yeah.
You got to watch a commercial.
And that's okay, because I got down. Time, but getting to the actual pumping thing is becoming a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, for whatever reason, I paid a lot of attention to that. Now, before we have to break, I have to do a little business here. What time is it? Okay. Let me break, then we'll come back.
We have a couple calls, too.
Let's take one at least, maybe two. John, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, I'm in the PM there.
Thank you, John.
I like this guy.
Hey, I was just curious. Is the Chinese tariffs war going against the United States goes on, are the price of jackrabbits going to be going up, too?
Probably. They're probably from China. Yeah. John, did you call another station this morning?
No, I didn't. I think that was my name, Sebastian.
No. You did not call another station today, correct?
Well, I'll admit I did, sir.
Yeah, you did. Yes, you did.
Gotcha. Hey, listen real quick there, Mr. Pinion. I have an alias name. My name is the Mad Buddhist, you know? So, I mean, are you going to... I hope the other guy doesn't get mad at me for using the stage name of the Mad Buddhist.
No, we don't mind.
Nah.
We don't care.
Oh, okay. Hey, by the way, hey, you got a great show. I like really your show. It's really entertaining.
That's what you say to everybody on the air. We appreciate it. Thank you, John.
Oh, doesn't he do the weather?
Thank you, John.
Is he the guy that does the weather?
I think so.
I don't know.
No, the guy you play when we did the weather.
Frankie McDonald.
That's what he sounds like.
He does a little bit. Let's get Joe on here real quick. Joe, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, I'm in the team.
Thank you, Joe.
That last guy is only the Mad Buddhist because he keeps rubbing on himself for good luck.
Well, don't we all? Don't we all at one time or another?
Hey, Frankie, man. Hey, that earlier caller that was complaining and going off about the jockstrap thing. You know, here's the thing, man. When you're hung like a crayon, it's easy to put this thing on.
Yeah, I don't need it. I wish I needed it.
When you're a bigger guy, the jockstrap, it confuses you. It's like, what the hell is this thing?
Yeah, that pouch is not big enough for me.
Hung like a crayon.
I love that.
Or as Dan likes to say, hung like a Tic Tac.
Yeah.
And my third thing. Hey, I was always under the impression that the salt water in the ocean was because of all the dead freaking sea animals out there.
I don't think so.
Sea animals.
Don't they get it?
No.
Their bodies are corroding and they're forming the salt, man.
The only good thing about salt water is if you fall out of a boat, you can really float. And so, you ever try that? You can float like crazy.
The Dead Sea, sure.
No, you can float salt water.
Just like
you
in
float
the ocean.
No, yes, in the ocean, your body floats a lot more than it does in regular fresh water.
Not a lot more. You got to be like in the Dead Sea or something.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
If you don't float the Dead Sea, guess what happens?
You're dead.
Yeah.
Thank you. Love you too. Not in a sexual way. All right. For those of you who enjoyed the yard sale Saturday morning, and I hope you did, please remember one sponsor, and only one sponsor, and that's the reason we don't have to have a lot of interruptions. That's First Community Credit Union. They've sponsored the yard sale for, I'm going to say, 6 years, something like that, a long, long time. I ran into the nicest guy today. I was walking into First Community, and this guy was coming out, and we had a wonderful talk. It started with the weather, as it usually does, and then convertible talk. And he proceeded to talk to me about a convertible that he used to have. And I said, hey, I used to have one of those, too. It was just a great conversation. We're total strangers, but we're both members of First Community Credit Union. And he said, I'm assuming you're a member here. Like we're at a country club. And I said, yes, I am. He said, isn't this a great place to bank? I'm making this up. This is just out of the blue what the guy said. And I said, it is. And he said, you know, it used to just be for Monsanto employees, and I said, not only do I know that, I think the year was 1936 when they opened. He goes, oh, I think you're right. And then we had a nice talk, and we said goodbye, and we parted company. That's the atmosphere at First Community Credit Union. Now, I went to close out a safe deposit box that I realized I don't need anymore because I don't have anything in there. It's just an empty safe deposit box. It kind of wasted money. So I closed that out, had a nice chat with Morgan and with Sue, and I'm inviting you And I know it's not a top priority for most of you, but it's also not that big a deal or that hard to do. And that is change where you do your banking to a place that's extremely friendly, extremely efficient, extremely successful, and stable. It is the largest credit union in the St. Louis area, over 40 locations. Because whatever it is you're doing with your bank or wherever you bank now, you can do all of that at First Community, and we think that you will find it to be a better place to bank. I don't exactly know how to tell you all the reasons why. It's one of those things where you just have to become a member, start banking there, and then you will start to see. Rates are competitive. Services are many. Service is great. Accessibility. Any way you want to do it, you want to go in, you want to drive through, you want to get online, you want to call, it's all there, and their website is easy to navigate. First Community Credit Union, please be sure to tell me your AM and the PM and thank them for the yard sale, firstcommunity.com. Do you need to take a break?
No, I'm good to the top of the hour if you want.
All right. Before we do one more bit of business, have the news, and Josh Bauman is here, and I'm going to say this too, I am very pleasantly surprised at how quickly Josh Bauman locked on to what we do here and his part of it, and how quickly the audience took to him, because it's very obvious. Josh Bauman knows what he's doing. He can't hear me, can he?
No. I don't think so.
Like a big head, won't raise. But the audience can tell that he's the head of IT for the Festus School District, and he knows his stuff. And I was blown away at how quickly the calls stacked up, the emails he gets. So he'll be here next hour to answer all your questions. It might be about an app. It could be about a smartphone, a TV. How do you decide which TV to buy? That's a tough one, too, because it's very, very confusing. I'm not a book reader. Oh, Doris Day's dead.
Oh, yeah.
97.
Oh, I thought she died a while back.
Now, Limey won't know anything about Doris Day.
But I know of her, but I don't know anything about her.
Doris Day, in her day, was as big a star. She was a massive movie star. And yeah. unlike most blondes who were buxom, Jane Mansfield, Marilyn Monroe, she was the naive girl next door. She was the virginal sort of inexperienced, just...
Someone described her as Mary Tyler Moore before Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah. But here's the thing that got me. I had no idea. She recorded 650 songs.
Yeah.
Wow.
And she was in 39 movies. And was, beyond healthy. She was in tremendous shape physically until just very recently she got pneumonia and died. And until she got pneumonia, they said she was active and fit and healthy and died at home. Wow. Complications from pneumonia at 97. And I don't know, I'm not old enough to really know Doris Day, because it was 50s and 60s, that was her heyday. But the gay community really embraced her because she refused to alienate herself from Rock Hudson or diss him when he got they started a lot of movies together. And she was right there for him to the very end. So Doris Day dead at 97. One quick bit of business, let me read you a terrific email. I don't have time for all of it, so I will sort of edit as I go here. Dear Frank, I'm 41, and I've been listening to you since I was in my early 20s. At that time, until recently, I've gone to a dentist that was a friend of the family. My wife started going there while we were dating. He retired a few years ago and recommended somebody else. He was very close to where we live. So we did. Went there for almost 2 years. A few months ago, when I went in, the tech made a comment that pushed me over the edge. I asked why they were doing a procedure when they did it last cleaning. And she said, yeah, but your insurance covers it, so we do everything insurance will pay for, whether you need it or not. And he said, that did it. I was out of there. Long story short, he went to Ballast Dental Care. Now he's a regular patient. So is his wife, David. Welcome to the Ballast Dental Care family. He also goes into a wonderful paragraph about his wife going, and she hated shots, and she dreaded shots because they always hurt. And she said she didn't even realize they had given her a shot because of the way they did it. And that is absolutely true. I've never felt a shot at Ballast Dental Care. Welcome aboard, new patients, David and your wife, and welcome to all of you in advance who are going to make the decision to finally go to a dentist that you'll never again dread going to. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be nervous. You don't have to be anxious. Ballast Dental Care, the corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads, ballastdentalcare.com. Josh Baum.
This is 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, and 590thefan.com, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. Wall Street is seeing big losses as the trade war between the U.S. and China escalates. The Dow Jones Industrial Average plummeted 617 points today. President Trump and